Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew in the 21st chapter. As we hear of temple leaders questioning the authority that Jesus has, and then Jesus giving a teaching on the parable of two sons. Beginning with verse 23, we hear, "When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?' Jesus said to them, 'I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?' And they argued with one another. 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. So what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him.' This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you are probably curious what the next sermon series is, because we've been going month to month, series to series, and I will break it to you that for October and November, we have a number of special things here and there that interrupt enough of the flow of the life of the church that we are headed back to the lectionary for 2 months, which means we happen to catch a bunch of Jesus' teachings and stories and miracles along the way. So we will be traveling with Jesus through October and November, along with marking some special things along the way. This morning we catch Jesus as he's headed into the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the temple begin to question Jesus and his authority, because, you see, they know that Jesus isn't all about upholding the status quo. They wonder under what authority he operates. These so-called traditional leaders of the people struggle with Jesus and his teachings. The Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, the Sadducees, and the others are all constantly finding themselves and their laws at odds with the behavior and teachings of this so-called Son of God. To follow Jesus means that there will need to be some self-examination of the sort of things that we desire to hold fast to and what we're willing to have transformed in our lives. You see, when we fail to surrender to the transformative power of God, we, alongside those who challenge Jesus in today's reading, demand to know, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you that authority? The leaders question Jesus and ask him whose authority he invokes. And I have to assume that they were probably expecting to hear the name of a person, the one who was the teacher of Jesus, the rabbi who trained him. I mean, that's what all the other rabbis would have responded with, was the name of their teacher. Because, you see, if you knew a person's name or the line of teaching that they have come out of, you could better understand where they were coming from and grasp where they were trying to go and what they were about. We all do this in similar ways. We do it when we ask a child who their teacher is at school. We want to know where a job applicant went to university at, because it will tell us about the reputation of the program that they attended. We want to know the name of the coach of a sport when someone plays, because it will tell us something about the quality of the athlete and their approach to playing their sport. We want to know where a chef trained, because it will tell us something about the food that has been prepared for us. We want to know under whom an artist trained, because it will give us an idea of what to expect from their art and give us a lens through which to view it. Now, certainly there are those who rebel from their training, who go another way, but in large part, we can be relatively safe in making assumptions about people and their work when we know their background and their training. It's the apprentice who is lent the authority of the master teacher before making his or her own way in the world. So the temple leaders question Jesus because they're at the top of their profession. There's no authority in the land that is greater than theirs, or at least that's what they believe. They are so incredulous that Jesus would counter their teachings and offer an alternative authority that they are about to be bent out of shape. But then they remember they need to be cautious as they question Jesus so that they can avoid the scorn of the crowd. Their challenge to Jesus' authority quickly devolves into an exercise in damage control for the temple leaders. In an effort to save face, they choose to play ignorant in answering Jesus' question about the source of authority for John the Baptizer. The church, though imperfect in practice, draws its authority from Jesus. If we were to draw our authority from humans, then Jesus would be nothing other than another charismatic leader, and the church just a human institution among human institutions. And if the church is nothing but a human institution, then we're reduced to a group competing with rivals for attention and power in the world. It is the case, however, that we draw our authority from heaven, as Jesus suggests, and we support the claim that Jesus is our Messiah. This gives us space and the responsibility-laden privilege of having a unique mission in the world. We don't have to be worried about power grabbing because we have been freed from such needs by drawing our authority from another source, a heavenly source. In fact, we hear a little bit more about that authority that has been placed in the church in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, in which we hear Jesus commanding his disciples, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Our mission as a church is built on Jesus' all-encompassing authority. The command given by the Father in this parable of the two sons today is to his sons, each one the same command: son, go and work in the vineyard today. Now that sounds like a command to submit to the authority of the Father and an invitation to the mission field. We are called by God and sent to spread the good news of salvation, to share the love of God, and to be in service to our neighbors. We aren't called to compete with each other or with the church down the street, for that sort of competition rejects the absolute authority of Jesus, who is over us all. We are called to make disciples rather than fight for territory in the world. What matters most is the disposition of people's souls, not their church membership status. This is what Jesus is pointing out to the temple leaders when he tells them that those they perceive to be the sinners of the worst kind are ahead of them in going into the kingdom of God, since they have submitted themselves to the authority that matters at the end of time. Jesus continues to ask us the same question that was asked of the temple leaders: how will we respond to the truth of the gospel? Will we change our minds and believe, or will we refuse? Will we pretend to be obedient, give lip service but no action? Or will we turn around in our inner beings? Will we repent and ask for forgiveness? Will we change our minds and allow transformation of heart and life to take place? Believing the way that Jesus suggests in this scripture this morning means making a decision about the source of power, which is legitimate: Jesus' power or the power of world leaders. We have a lot of world leaders who are vying to claim that they have authority, sometimes indiscriminately. And we have a tendency to lend authority to people in positions to which they are elected or appointed. However, what happens when you hold an office that has been historically granted authority, but that authority is no longer being granted? Most of us would agree that authority must be tested and proven. It must be lived. We're seeing that resistance to granting authority play out in our society on several fronts in this time. People are taking knees. People are questioning. People are resisting. People are saying no to those in positions that have historically been given authority. Now, I don't take it for granted that you have granted authority to the position of pastor. I understand that I have been called by God and that I belong in a pulpit, but I do not deserve to be here by my own merit. I am grateful that I have been invited into this space. I know that I'm not the only one who has the ability to read and interpret the Bible, for we have all been given that responsibility. You don't need me to tell you what the Bible says, nor do you need me to tell you how to experience God. I don't have all the answers, and you shouldn't believe me if I tell you that I do. For far too long, preachers have convinced people that their faith can be contained in come to church, listen to the sermon, and you're good to go. My sermons should have no authority if they don't challenge you to live your faith. And they shouldn't have any authority if they don't help you to see your faith intersecting with the world. True authority demands connection between what we say and what we do, between who you say you are and how you live your life. borrowing from the theologian Caroline Lewis, we must connect between word and deed, between ideas and implementation, between vision and action. Authority is granted when there is integrity. Words that are not lived out should be questioned and stripped of their standing and power. Our biggest challenge is whether or not we believe God. God Emmanuel. God with us. Will you believe? Actions speak louder than words. Thanks be to God. Amen.